Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Race through the first 2 hours of the show today. We all agree. Just flew by. See how these last 2 hours go. Woods?
Piece of cake, buddy.
Yeah, we got coming up at the bottom of the hour at 7:35. Keith Law, ESPN MLB Insider. Now, I'm sure we'll ask him about the World Series, but he doesn't really cover, you know, the big league teams that much. He's more in the minor leagues, and we really wanted to have him on about this story that Major League Baseball kind of come out this last week. The proposal for the new collective bargaining agreement that could eliminate a bunch of minor league teams across the country, could realign, reorganize AAA, AA, single A, make it look very different than what it does today. And a lot of people are upset about this.
It would be catastrophic, wouldn't it, for minor league baseball?
It would be catastrophic some places. I mean, obviously, if you had a team and you lost a team and
yeah, that would
you
suck.
Enjoyed it, that would be bad. I no doubt about it. At the same time, if it allows maybe teams to pay minor league players more, if it allows teams to move their AAA teams closer to the big league clubs so they can get guys up from AAA, you know, and use them in Major League Baseball games. I mean, that is the point of having the minor leagues, is to get guys ready for Major League Baseball. If it makes facilities better in the minor leagues for players, you know, training facilities, things like that coming up. There are some good aims here of this proposal that Major League Baseball has made. Most people are framing it as a complete negative because there will be some, like, small towns that lose their team, basically.
Yeah.
And that really, that does.
That sucks.
That does suck.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And so but at the same time, you can't just do the same thing forever. Things change. Things have to evolve a little bit. So I'm interested what Keith Law's take is on this story and what he thinks is going to happen here in the next couple of years in minor league baseball.
Yeah, and I think we're going to ask Keith about Jace Tingler as well, maybe the Padres manager search. I mean, look, we're...
Has he run across that name? Does he know much about him? I mean, the guy's well thought of in Texas, but...
Yeah.
Outside of that, you know, no one's heard about this guy.
Well, and we sit and we wait. And
I did some research last night, actually.
Did you?
I did.
I did a little bit of research yesterday myself, Ben. I don't know if you saw my blog.
I did. Very good blog. You should check it out. You should absolutely go to 97.3thefansd.com.
Thank you.
Check out Woodsy's blog, breaking down the finalists, the managerial candidates for the Padres in, let's just say, in a way that I haven't seen them broken down yet.
I called it Consulting the Cosmos, okay? And I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah, it's also on my Twitter, at the Stephen Woods, my totally voluntary blog that my boss does not force me to do and send me annoying texts about on Monday, every Monday.
So my research didn't actually really get me very far, but I saw last week that when the Padres did their final interview with Jace Tingler, they took him to dinner at Bocce, which is an Italian restaurant there on Morena.
You went and researched the restaurant?
Well, that's where we celebrated. We had the
last
94th
night.
Birthday
oh,
party.
Look at
met,
you.
Yeah, in between shows, I met the family for an hour and had dinner at Bocce. So, you know, I've sat in the same restaurant where Jace Tingler has sat.
How was it?
It was good. Good. Had some pasta. It was delicious.
Does he have any other ties to San Diego?
I don't know if that makes him more or less of a favorite, but the restaurant was good. food was good.
Yeah, and you haven't discovered any other San Diego ties because that's what you do.
I don't.
You're
I
on
really
the news
have
here.
Very little. Didn't, I mean, that's the only restaurant I know he's eaten at. I don't know what hotel he stayed at.
Didn't stay in Kearney Mesa one night in 97 out here with some buddies.
Came out, visited.
Didn't hit Shore Club.
Visited, you know, SeaWorld one time when he was a kid with the family. I have no idea. We'll have to learn all these things if they do end up hiring him as manager. So.
I think at this point, there are a lot of Padre fans I think are in the same boat. At this point, I think the Padres have done a good job because now we're getting to the point as fans where we're saying, you know what, I don't care. Just get somebody in there. Please just hire someone, anyone. Now, again, they're not in a unique position. There are still seven other Major League Baseball jobs that are open, but I'm sure people in Philly are flipping out. I'm sure people in New York are flipping out. I'm sure people in Kansas City are flipping out. People in Boston don't have a GM. This is where it is. It's just hard to be patient.
To your point about just being at the point where, like, I don't even care anymore. I literally wrote it down. Do you think at this point fans are more excited for the uniform unveiling on November 9th than the manager? They're just like, I don't care. I don't care.
That we're ground to the nub. I mean, Kevin Acey tweeted yesterday, like, if something doesn't happen soon, my head is going to explode.
I understand, though. When you're a beat writer and you've been covering the team all season long, and if the team doesn't make the playoffs, this should be his, like, time off.
Yes.
But he can't take any
time off
until they announce a manager. So
that's
he's
a great
still
point.
Grinding every day and, like, when is my vacation finally going to start?
When can I write that article and be done with it?
Exactly. And then you know, the offseason picks up a couple weeks after the World Series, and you get back on it. But he wants some time off. So I understand that sentiment right now. But I wouldn't expect an announcement today or tomorrow. Major League Baseball really frowns on that going up against the World Series. So Eve's Thursday is the next off day.
Yep.
Although I saw yesterday the Angels have scheduled their introduction of Joe Maddon for Thursday. So who knows if the, you know, multiple teams are going to want to do managerial announcements and have news. Then you had three more days with games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you don't do it on Thursday, then we're looking at next Monday as your next off day in the World Series when the Padres could possibly make an announcement, do a presser or something like that. So, yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath right now.
Well, the funny thing is, and it's not only Kevin Acey, it's us too, because, you know, we got an email from our boss yesterday. Look, we're the flagship radio station for the San Diego Padres, and when that news breaks, we got to be ready to spring into action, and there's already kind of a game plan laid out for what's going to happen when it does happen so that we're prepared. So we're all kind of on pins and needles. I don't know when it's going to be. I have no inclination at all.
Except for Chris Zello, who's in Tahiti.
That SOB. How did he get out of this? That is what a time. What a time to take your vacation. Brilliant. I love it.
As I mentioned, we already had some breaking news in the world of sports this morning. The New England Patriots, fresh off last night's 33-0 win over the New York Jets, have made a trade ahead of, I believe, next week's NFL trade deadline. Is it next week or this week? When's the trade deadline? 28th?
Let me look for you.
I feel
Ben.
Like it was next 28th.
Deadline NFL. I like to do this on the air so people know where we're
I think it's the 29th because it wouldn't
29th.
Be on Monday.
October
29th. All right. So next week's trade deadline, acquiring wide receiver Mohamed Sanu from the Atlanta Falcons for a second-round draft pick, giving Tom Brady a second veteran option in addition to Julian Edelman. Already have got the best defense, not only in the league this year, but one of the best defenses through seven games in NFL history. And now you're acquiring pieces to help an offense that has been pedestrian, at least by Patriots standards, but plenty good enough combined with that defense to win games week in and week out.
Yeah, man. They're just a smart organization. And, you know, you said it earlier. Well, you know, you have Sanu on your fantasy team, and you said, well, he just hadn't done much. Well, yeah, look where he's been. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons have been putrid all year. It's a guaranteed win. It feels like anybody going there or them going to their house, it just feels like a guaranteed loss for the Falcons right now. And you fully expect him to come to New England, fit right in their system, and it just gives Tom Brady yet another weapon. And they traded another draft pick, a second round pick for him, which, you know, they're the only team that picks in the 30s every year but continues to get better and win Super Bowls. That's just not how they build their team.
So we've got two undefeated teams left in football, two winless teams left in football. And I saw this poll that came out a couple of minutes ago, SportsCenter put it out. I thought it was an interesting little topic. They asked which is most likely to happen of these four. Patriots going 16-0, 49ers going 16-0, Dolphins going 0-16, or Bengals going 0-16. The one I throw out right away is the 49ers. I really would doubt that they're going to go 16-0.
You have never hated anything as much as you hate this year's 49ers.
I don't. I like John Lynch Jr. went to Torrey Pines, put together a good team. I feel like they're one of those teams that just got here.
Okay.
They just arrived.
I'm with you.
I mean, they're not ready to go 16-0.
I don't think
they're ready to go on a deep playoff run. They're ready to set the stage for something else in the future. They're off to a really good start. Call me back in December and tell me where they are.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think they're going to go 16-0. I would put my money, though, on the Dolphins going 0-16. That, for me, would be the far and away winner. Now, listen, they're still...
Now, if the Bengals bench Andy Dalton and start doing some crazy things, I don't know how bad that could get in Cincinnati. That's already an ugly start. But don't count out this Patriots team. Maybe that's the inspiration they need for the rest of the season. They're already going to the playoffs. They're almost certainly going to have home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. Is that something Bill Belichick uses? Does he want to keep his team motivated to try to finish off the perfect season that they couldn't finish off in 2007 when they lost to Eli Manning and the Giants in the Super Bowl? It's the one tiny little stain on that resume of six Super Bowl titles that they came so close to the perfect season, but came one game, one drive short at the end of the season. They have a chance to do it again this year now.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do.
Tougher schedule in the second half, but if that defense keeps playing like it is,
they're lights out.
It's going to be very tough to beat that team.
They are lights out. Their turnover margin's got to be, it's bananas. They've given up how many points? 49?
48.
48 points in seven games. That's astounding. That is astounding. Now, again, they've played some crappy teams, but God bless you. You're liable to stub your toe and give up, 21 points in a game and still win if you're them. But oh my God, watching them last night, Sam Darnold never had a prayer from the opening snap. Never had a prayer. So
the Patriots, I think I heard last night, have now intercepted 18 passes this season. 18 interceptions. I mean, that's like 4 years worth for some teams. That's crazy. 18 interceptions through seven games of the season. So, yeah, what else is new in the world? New England Patriots are good once again.
Yep.
Couldn't have seen that coming anywhere
and that,
at all.
You know, that draft pick that they traded, I did see people saying, it seems really high for Sanu. They don't care. They don't care. It's not how they build their team in New England. So they don't care. It's not massive capital to them every year. It's just they make the moves that they need to move when they – and they know when to cut bait, when it's time to say goodbye to Antonio Brown and things like that. I mean, they let a guy that is potentially the best wide receiver in the world just walk because he was too much of a headache.
Woods, coming up later this hour, you should be listening for your name. Well, your name will be called.
Not
but
my name.
Listeners should listen
Someone's
for their name.
Name
to be called as today's biggest fan. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back today and win a 4-pack of tickets to SeaWorld's Halloween Spooktacular. With spooky live shows, presentations, Halloween activities, trick-or-treating around the park. You'll also be entered into our grand prize drawing for a Las Vegas getaway. We got show tickets at Caesars, at the Cosmo, at the Atomic Saloon Show. Just sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. We'll have another name for you later this hour. Don't Do This is coming up next. Woods?
Oh, my God.
I've got a great, great story about a high school that is completely, they fired all their coaches, they forfeited their season, and I've got a Michigan man who is not very smart at all. When you're going to criticize one of the players, make sure he can't see your name, your phone number, and your email.
Fantastic.
All right.
That is coming up next. Right now, let's get a check of traffic. You're on 97.3 The Fan with Suda Vincent.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We do it every day. Three sports stories that make you shake your head, that would make Woodsy's wife Hannah go, Don't do this. Yeah, there are things. Perfect, Hannah. Just your
Don't
timing is impeccable. Woodsy, you'll get us started today.
I will get us started, Ben, and a Michigan fan has apologized to wide receiver Ronnie Bell for a very hateful email Following the loss to Penn State, guy dropped what would have been the game-tying touchdown with 2 minutes remaining on Saturday night. And cameras actually saw him sobbing on the sideline. So a really rough day for that kid, right? He's a sophomore. Well, a Michigan alumni wrote to Mr. Bell and lit him up. Lit him up really good in the email saying, you should quit. Please quit the team already. Utterly sad my tuition goes to paying for the scholarship for such a scrub-ass player like you, bum-ass. Go play basketball somewhere. Please do us a favor and never play football again. But this fan, Connor Grady, left his name, his email address, his number. It was I believe it was supposed to be anonymous, Ben. But when you, just a tip, when you send an email, if you don't do it from another account with your name on it, they're going to know it came from you.
Right.
So his dad, actually, the player's dad, Ronnie Bell's father, screenshotted it and tweeted it, and this guy got killed. He got killed. So he has now apologized. He said, I would like to state for the record, I wish to apologize to Mr. Bell. I've privately apologized to him. I've also apologized publicly to the Bell family. I'm a proud Michigan alum and a passionate fan who has supported the team for years. My conduct was not acceptable under any circumstances. I make no excuses for my behavior. Decent apology by Connor Grady. It will be forgotten, but think before you hit send.
Should have tried the Astros method and just denied that it ever happened.
Yeah, denied that it happened. Yeah. Say fake news. That's the bit, right? Fake news?
Yep. All right, my Don't Do This. I would say if we had been doing Don't Do This early in the decade, that Lane Kiffin would have been a
big player.
A very big player on Don't Do This. He's not as big time as he used to be when he was coaching, you know, like the USC Trojans, but he does have a job right now. He's the head coach at Florida Atlantic, and they lost to Marshall 36-31. I guess a couple of calls went against Lane Kiffin's team. So after the game, he did what pretty much any 2-bit fan would do. He sent out a meme of three blind referees with guide dogs wandering around a football field. Well, Conference USA wasn't too happy about that. They fined Lane Kiffin $5,000 for violating the league's sportsmanship policy. I will say this, though. Lane continued to have fun with it. Someone tweeted out, has anyone started a GoFundMe? Lane said, I'll give $5,000 to it.
Yeah, $5,000. That's not, and somebody asked him if it was worth it, and he said, absolutely. Yeah, totally worth it.
I mean, it's a meme.
It was funny as hell. It was funny. It was funny.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, fair enough.
All right, a high school.
Did you see there was a follow up to that. Jake Olson, remember him? He was the blind.
Yes,
long snapper
right, for
at
USC.
USC.
Yeah.
He tweeted, "My man at Lane Kiffin, I'm for hire."
Oh my God.
Although to be completely transparent, I have an interview with Larry Scott's office on Monday, so hit me up quick if you're interested. Larry Scott being, of course, the commissioner of the Pac-12.
It's incredible.
Which is notorious for
bad
horrible.
Calls. Yeah.
Refereeing.
That's incredible.
Good stuff, Jake.
It's great. How fun is that, man? Poking fun at yourself.
See, he could have gone the other way and say,
and got offended.
This is offensive to blind people. Had fun with it.
That's really, really good. Hey, this is interesting, man. High school football is
I
just
saw this
insane.
One. Yeah,
it
this,
is insane. I had,
if you didn't have this one, I was definitely coming with this one today.
So a high school in St. Louis has canceled the remainder of its undefeated season. They had not lost a game yet. They had fired the entire coaching staff. It was revealed that a suspended player tried to pull the old switcheroo. They let him pull the old switcheroo. He put somebody else's jersey on and went out there and played.
Yeah, junior running back Bill Jackson, you know, like one of the top players on the team, was supposed to be suspended because he had been ejected on the previous game, the last season. That's part of the rules. You get ejected, you sit out the next game.
Yeah, so he goes from number 4 to number 24, and he plays the opener as freshman Marvin Burks, who appears to be real. But here's the problem. He's got a lot of very noticeable tattoos on his right arm. And the other team noticed. They called them out on it. And the best, though, is the response from the football coach. He said, that's kind of my wrongdoing, not knowing the rules, and that he shouldn't have not sat out the jamboree. He should have sat out week one, so that's what happened. He said, look, also...
He did not know the rule.
He said also...
You switched his number. You knew the rule.
He said, Ben, listen. Listen. He said, player switching jerseys, quote, That's a thing our kids do on a regular basis, you know? They try to change jersey numbers.
Of course.
And they sometimes don't let us know.
Tom Brady does that all the time.
All the time. Comes out as comes out as 14 sometimes. May not know.
Did it give it away when the quarterback kept going with air quotes, "We're going to hand it off to Marvin."
Marvin. Come on, Marvin. Yeah. Yeah, so they're...
What about Marvin, though? Poor Marvin, the freshman.
He's got to be the sucker.
Does he have to wear the jersey of a suspended player? How does that work?
Well,
you know you're not getting in the game at that point,
the
apparently.
Coach came to you and said, "All right, man, here's the deal. You're a freshman. You're going to get plenty of time later. Tonight, I need you to just wear this one. I need you to go sit in the stands. Marvin, tonight, you are not Marvin."
Don't do this.
Again, good on the school for taking swift action.
Team was
undefeated. They just canceled the rest of the season.
Yep.
Undefeated team. Season over.
Fired all the coaches.
Done.
That's it. It's done.
That was swift.
Maybe the Astros should just bow out of the World Series because of all of these allegations going on right now. What do you think about that? You think they would?
I don't think they will, but that would make a bold statement.
That would make a very bold...
You know what? We're going to pull out of the World Series. Now, would you say if they did that, as an apology for what their assistant GM did, would you want the Yankees to take their spot, or would you just declare the national champion?
No, you slide right in. It's like it's like Cougar and Maverick.
It's one of those when you're a kid, well, if all the other teams got in a plane crash, then my team gets to be in the World Series.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you just slide right in.
I never really thought how sad that would be. I always just thought, finally, the Padres get to be in the World Series.
It's Cougar and Maverick.
Don't do this for sure.
Cougar was walking too close to the edge. He lost his wings. We slid right in. That's how it goes.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
What does ESPN's Keith Law know about the future of minor league baseball? What does he think about the World Series matchup? Had he ever heard of Jace Tingler before the last couple of weeks? We'll ask him all those questions and more coming up next on Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. As a couple of guys who enjoy going to minor league baseball games, been to a couple with you, Woods. Very concerning, the possible future of minor league baseball, changes that are coming. About to talk to Keith Law from ESPN about that. First, let's get a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Suda Vincent.
All right, kind
of a toss-up whether I would even be an ESPN Plus insider subscriber if there wasn't a Keith Law. But because there is a Keith Law, it is an absolute must to follow his stuff during the baseball season. And we got Keith on the line right now here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back to Ben and Woods, Keith. Always good talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the reason we're just going to get right to it because we wanted to ask you on was the story coming out this past week about the future of minor league baseball and changes being proposed during the discussions on collective bargaining agreement, hearing about maybe eliminating a couple of dozen teams around the country, restructuring, reorganization of AAA, AA, Single A, and we love minor league baseball. I mean, we love going to games. We go up to Lake Elsinore at least a couple of times a year. What are you kind of hearing about this? What's been the reaction to the proposal by MLB? What's going on here?
And I'll say up front, too, not only am I a big fan of minor league baseball, it's basically what I do, right? I go to very few major league games. I watch those on TV. But I actually go to the minor league games to see players. So I have a vested interest in the minors sort of keeping as many teams, at least as many teams close to me as possible. I don't care about teams close to you. I only care about teams close to me because this is entirely about me.
Of course.
Yes. So first, what is the reaction been? So this, what leaked at the end of last week was Major League Baseball went to Minor League Baseball. The PBA, the Professional Baseball Agreement, that governs relations between the two entities has not really been updated since 1990. They've just kept rolling it forward without any real changes. Major League Baseball finally went back to Minor League Baseball and said, look, you got a lot of teams and facilities that are unacceptable just from a facility quality. I'm talking about not so much about the part for the fans, but the part for the players, the clubhouses, training facilities, medical facilities, even housing nearby for the players. So they said, one, you know, we think a lot of these need to be relocated, upgraded, or flat out eliminated. And also they've raised the point that a lot of the geography where these teams are located relative to each other, so for travel between sites for games, or relative to their major league affiliates, is also a problem. And minor league baseball said, sure, we understand some of that, but we have owners of all of these franchises who you made investments and expect, don't you know, if you go to somebody and say, hey, we're just shutting your business down, of course they're not going to be happy about that. They expect to be compensated in some way. And I think that's the crux of the problem here is Major League Baseball says, this system doesn't work for us, fix it. And Minor League Baseball is saying, we're open to making changes, but who's paying for all of this? I'm glossing over a lot of detail, but I think that's the main gist of it. And there's not a simple solution. And in that column, I tried to present a little of both sides, a few of my own ideas, but I don't have a perfect solution either. I mean, the truth is this system has been allowed to atrophy for a really long time. So nobody's made any significant changes in really in about 50 years. That's how long the current league structure of the minors has been in place. And it's going to take a long time and probably a fair amount of money to undo all of that.
I mean, yeah, that stands to reason. And it sounds a little bit like it's almost kind of spiraled out of control. And now they're kind of flipping out about it, Keith. And, you know, my partner Ben here earlier said, well, you know, if they did, I'm trying to think about any positives that would happen. You know, maybe then if they save a lot of money and kind of contract, then they could pay minor leaguers more. Do you think that's even a consideration at this point, or has it just gotten too big too fast?
So I talked to sources on both sides before writing that. And the people I talked to with Major League Baseball who just didn't want to be identified, but they all brought up, you know, we want to pay players more. But the current system, their argument was the current system makes that more difficult because we have extra expenses related to having all of these extra affiliates spread out across the country. And also because we're paying a lot of players who have no chance to make the major leagues, right? A lot of players, especially in those short season leagues, like the Pioneer League or the Appalachian League, we're paying most of these players. They're not paying them much, but those guys have very little chance to actually make the majors. I sort of believe that, and I sort of don't. I mean, the flip side, the problem I have with that is Major League Baseball makes so much money, they could just pay the players more now,
right,
and they wouldn't really notice it. But they're saying, look, if we're going to spend more, give us cost savings somewhere else. And I actually don't really have any objection to that because they're right. A lot of their expenses on this side are probably not necessary or not really efficient. I would say if there's going to be some kind of massive structural change to the relationship between the majors and the minors, someone, and it's not really clear who in this transaction, has to stand up for the minor league players because the minor league owners, they don't really care. It's not their money and those aren't their players. So who in that negotiation is saying, wait, you have to promise you're going to pay the players more? There's nobody on either side who would have some vested interest in extracting that promise.
The one aspect that I do tend to agree with the major league clubs on this is that they're putting expensive assets. They've invested a lot of money in, you know, some of their top draft picks, big signing bonuses. You don't want to send them out to a high A facility that doesn't have a good, you know, good training room, that doesn't have equipment that keeps these guys in shape and keeps them on the road to the big leagues. That would be unacceptable to me. If I were a major league owner, at the minimum, I need to know that my big ticket prospects are being taken care of in the minor leagues.
I completely agree. And I've been to an Appalachian League facility. What I'm told is one of the nicer ones, which sort of shocked me. They're basically playing on glorified high school fields. And that would be fine for an independent team or a collegiate summer league team. But those are franchises in the Appalachian League. That's a short season league that's above your Arizona Rookie League, but not as high as, say, low A, like where the Padres have Fort Wayne, for example. Those affiliates at the short season level, you're going to run real prospects through there. You're going to run high draft picks through there. You're going to run your big ticket Latin American players too. Imagine taking a kid out of the Dominican Republic who you've given a large signing bonus to, and then you send him to Bluefield, West Virginia, and he's playing on a glorified high school field, and he's the housing, the training facilities, the food. You've taken him to a completely foreign country and you're putting him up in these fairly low quality facilities, and major league teams are saying, uncle, we don't want that. But it's not easy to just say, well, we'll take those prospects and just skip them over that level entirely. That's not really a solution either.
We're talking to Keith Law here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Keith, I got to ask the question, you know, the, uh, The Padres are one of seven teams left, I believe, looking for their next skipper. And Jace Tingler is a name that none of us had heard before a couple of weeks ago. Now, you know, he's got his own contingent of fans. There are a couple of other candidates here they're talking about in San Diego. But all of your dealings in baseball, what do you know? What can you tell us about Jace Tingler?
So sort of small world. I worked for the Blue Jays when we drafted him. I did not know him at the time, but he was a 10th round, you know, senior sign. I think he signed for, you know, $5,000 or something like that. Played a couple of years in our system before retiring and moving on to the coaching side. And I will say I've met him over the years since he became a coach and manager in the Rangers system. And the Rangers people have nothing but tremendous things to say about him. They say he's high energy, that his players absolutely love playing for him, that he's really well-versed in the data side of things, that he'd be great for dealing with the analytics department, which we know the Padres are going to see as an important part of the new manager's job, or frankly, it's probably the entire coaching staff is going to be expected to do that. And Jace even had some experience managing parts of the farm system for the Rangers too, so he's got experience overseeing a staff of non-player people as well, which I think is also extremely important and kind of an underrated thing. So he checks a lot of the boxes for me. I always argue that major league teams are very quick to hire famous people who don't necessarily have the right experience, particularly managing somewhere. I don't care if you manage winter ball, minor leagues, just manage somewhere before you manage in the majors. And Tingler has done all of that. He's done all of these things and comes with absolutely glowing references from his last organization. So I would love to see him get the job as the manager. If he ends up in sort of a subordinate role, as has been rumored, it might be a, you know, bench coach slash sort of assistant manager type of position. I also think he'll be great at that.
But knowing what you know about the Padres and what you've seen, I mean, the record speaks for itself over the last few years, especially with Andy Green at the helm. Andy, really, really nice guy, high energy guy, definitely won the interview. And we talked to Ron Fowler. Ron Fowler told us verbatim, I've interviewed 15,000 people in my career. Andy Green was top three. You know, he nailed the interview, but then the results in the field obviously weren't there. Are the Padres in a position to take another chance? I mean, call it a chance on a guy with no Major League Baseball experience.
I think yes. One, I think Andy Green got scapegoated a little bit. The reason that the Major League team didn't do well had more to do with the fact that the Major League talent wasn't really there. Between injuries and the teams just weren't that good, and I thought Green's in-game management was fine, not great, not really awful. The question that I can't answer, that probably people inside the organization are trying to answer, is how was he on the developmental side? They're still in a developmental mode, although I think we all agree the Padres are going to be pretty good pretty soon.
We hope so, yeah.
These prospects, they're arriving, right? Some of them are here already. Some of them are going to get there very quickly. In the next 2 years, you know, by the end of 2021, I think the bulk of the big name prospects there, the guys we expect to really contribute to the next really great Padres team, they'll be in the majors. They may not be great yet, but they'll be there. So to me, the next 2 years are still critical developmental years. And I want a developmental manager, not somebody. This is the wrong situation for Dusty Baker, who's a great manager if you think your team is a contender right now and you're trying to get yourself to the postseason. That might be true for the Mets. It's definitely true for the Phillies. It is not at all true for the Padres. And I think for the Padres, it makes far more sense to take somebody who's got a developmental track record and has actual experience at doing that versus going even for an acclaimed major league manager who hasn't really had a role in developing players in a very long time.
If the Padres do end up hiring Jace Tingler, they're going to want this interview to get out as much as possible. I called last week for a Jace Tingler defender out there. Crickets, got nothing, Keith. We needed you last week at that time because obviously people are skeptical here in San Diego and kind of looking for the more the veteran choice, whether it's Ron Washington or some of the other names that have been mentioned. Before you go, I know you watch mostly minor league games, but everyone gets to have an opinion on the World Series. It does start tonight in Houston. Astros dealing with a bit of a distraction in that Sports Illustrated story. Washington Nationals, great pitching. Astros are big favorites. How do you see the series breaking down, Keith?
And I'll say I believe that Sports Illustrated story and the women who reported what they saw flat out, no matter the Astros' denials. My preseason pick, a reader had to point this out to me. I completely forgot. My preseason pick was Astros over Nationals.
Wow, look
at
you.
So I feel like I actually have to stick with that. We're not going to talk about some of my other preseason picks. We're just going to let those slide right on by. But I will say the Astros over the Nationals, let's say in six games. I actually think this is really close. The Nationals are very well built for the postseason. And just from a sort of sentimental aspect, the Nationals franchise has never won. Washington, D.C. has not had a World Series winner since the 20s. I think 1925 or so was the original Senators' only World Series championship. Would be pretty awesome to see the Nationals take one home.
Almost back to the roaring 20s again. Keith, always enjoy our conversations. Appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure, guys.
Keith Law, catch his stuff, ESPN Plus, ESPN Insider, minor league baseball for sure, but some really good insight. I always like talking to Keith. You know, I was thinking about this World Series, and it reminds me of 1998, Padres against the Yankees. The Yankees, of course, and the Astros have the similarity that the Astros won it 2 years ago.
Yep.
The Yankees had won it in 1996, came back 2 years later with what might have been an even better team.
Yes.
Against a team, Padres are obviously were in their second World Series, not their first World Series, but a more of a happy-to-be-there vibe. You know, no one really expected them to get past the Braves and the Astros to get there to the World Series.
Taking in the sights and whatnot.
Yeah, of, you know, New York, and here we are. We're so excited to be in the World Series. That is a recipe to have what happened to the Padres happen, and that is a sweep. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I mean, the Padres didn't have a Max Scherzer. They had a Kevin Brown that didn't have a Max Scherzer and a Steven Strasburg.
And a Patrick Corbin. And an Anibal Sanchez who's been unhittable. It's crazy.
But they had a Kevin Brown and a Sterling Hitchcock, who was the NLCS MVP that year.
Loved that guy.
Had an Andy Ashby, who's, you know, very good pitcher.
Absolutely.
And they couldn't do anything against a legitimate all-time team. Now, I'm not saying that the Astros are an all-time team this year, but, 105 wins? That's nothing to sneeze at either. They're a very, very, very good team.
They are. They are, and that's why they're heavily favored. I'm rolling with the Nats. I'm rolling with Scherzer to get his. I'm rolling with Strasburg. He's been one of the hottest pitchers on the planet. Verlander is beatable. You've seen it. Greinke's definitely beatable. You've seen that. And Gerrit Cole was not the – he pitched really well against the Yankees, but he also walked five guys. Yankees had a chance to knock him out in the first inning, and they didn't do it. And that's on them. It's also on him for making big pitches when he needed to, but he wasn't himself. Tonight is going to be so much fun, these two guys going head-to-head. I cannot wait.
In terms of pure sport, the aspect of head-to-head, of our best against your best, it doesn't get much better than, nope. I mean, you got a three-time Cy Young Award winner and a three-time All-Star who's probably the Cy Young favorite, would you say, in the
yes.
American League this year? Yeah. So probably going to win the Cy Young in the American League this year. I mean, I know you always say, oh, it's going to be 0-0. So, yeah, sometimes it works out that way, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it ends up being a 7-5 game, and you're going like, oh, didn't see that coming. But that's baseball for you. Either way, I'm all in on the matchup.
I cannot wait.
And now I'm cheering for the Nationals after what came out last night. Keith mentioned it. You know, he says, yeah, I believe the reporting in Sports Illustrated. I want to get to that coming up here again at the top of the hour, that story. Open up our phone lines as well, 833-288-0973, if you're following the developments out of Sports Illustrated and Stephanie Epstein's story about what happened in the locker room. I would love to get some input from our listeners out there on this one.
A lot of feedback, too, on the Keith Law interview. People saying that they've been swayed. Keith Law has swayed them
to Jace Tingler.
Look how easily.
You guys are all so impressionable out there.
So impressionable, man.
Have you been swayed, though? You're one of the biggest Ron Washington fans out there.
Yes.
You've kind of swayed me toward Ron Washington.
Love Wash.
Keith did a very good job of making the case for Jace.
I think it just goes back to that feeling that we just want something to happen. If Keith Law would have said all of that except for Ron Washington, I think people also would have been like, hey, you know what? Washington sounds pretty good.
Well,
let's go with Ron.
I'll tell you the thing that Keith did say that should probably give us all a little pause is he said, well, the next 2 years are in fact developmental years. Well, that's not what we've been told.
Yeah, he switched. He said that and pretty good pretty
They're
soon.
They're going to be pretty good pretty soon. Pretty good is not going to cut it next year. Remember? Like, that's been an edict.
I still think they have a lot of question marks on the
roster. Bro, I'm with you. But I know that the front office there expects to make the playoffs next year, like, or quote, heads will roll. So I when Keith Law says the next 2 years are developmental years, I feel like if I know they, that. I think we all know
I
that.
I mean, if they roll out the exact same team as last year, you can't expect any majorly better results than this year just because you changed the manager. I think we all can agree that the manager can only impact, you know, a little bit. A couple of games with decisions, maybe a couple of games with culture. We're not talking a 30-game improvement from one manager to the next.
Benny?
It has to come on the roster. It has to come from the players.
It does. It's got to come from the roster. I mean, you're right, man. You can't run out what you ran out there last year and expect to
now, that being said,
drastically improve.
You know, one or two games early in the season that a manager makes a difference. Think about last year. Padres been three big games better before the All-Star break, three wins that they didn't have instead of losses. All of a sudden, they're six games above 500 instead of at 500 at the All-Star break. They're probably going out, maybe adding a piece at the trade deadline. Totally different vibe in terms of the second half. You don't send Franmil Reyes off in a situation like that. Maybe the Padres stick around and are in contention at the end of the season. That's where one or two games can actually maybe start building on itself and turning into something bigger.
Yeah. But that's, hey, listen, I know everyone just got excited about Team Tingler right there, but Keith also said 2 years, developmental. I mean, and he's right. It's hard
that's still the outside perspective, for sure.
It's definitely the outside. Like, is it your perspective? Because it's kind of mine. I want to be excited.
Last
but...
year, though, the Braves were still in another couple of years of developmental. Instead, they've been in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yeah.
When it happens quickly. It happens pretty unexpectedly. It will happen, hopefully, for the Padres soon. We're all, of course, hoping it's next year. Anyone else is going to be a little more skeptical.
Yes.
I understand that.
Correct.
All right, we got a big announcement coming up at 8:20.
We do.
Make sure you are here. Tier 1 listeners especially, you're going to want to know what you have in store for you on Ben and Woods. That is coming up in about 20 minutes. Until then, though, definitely want to get some phone calls on this Astros Clubhouse story out of Sports Illustrated. 833-288-0973. You got some thoughts? Join us next. It is Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. We are 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.